to be hearing from one of the greatest literatures ever written, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we are advised to hear in the mood of the great devotees, understanding that although Lord Chaitanya did not openly assert himself as being the personality of Godhead, he is nonetheless Sri Krishna himself. And so when we hear in that mood, we will benefit greatly. It's very bewildering, even for the devotees, just as Kunti Devi asserted, that she's bewildered. She knows that Krishna is God, but then she's also envisioning him running away from Mother Yashoda as a child. So that's completely bewildering. She says, this is bewildering to me, that I know you're God, but you're running in fear of your Mother Yashoda. So how is this? So we should understand that, you know, because sometimes when we've been around this movement for a while, we think we know, we understand, but it's not easy to understand Krishna's position, how he incarnates in so many different incarnations and his pastimes, his activities, his mood. Not very easy to understand. So Lord Chaitanya's pastimes can completely bewilder even great souls, what to speak of those who have no idea of his position. So in this section, this chapter 17, we're hearing of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in his youth. And again, keeping in mind that he's the personality of Godhead, it's very bewildering to understand how he interacts in this way. So we begin today with text 65. Translation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Mukunda Datta with punishment and in that way vanquished all his mental depression. Purport. Mukunda Datta was once forbidden to enter the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his mixing with the Mayavadi impersonalists. When Lord Chaitanya manifested his Mahaprakasha, he called all the devotees one after another and blessed them, while Mukunda Datta stood outside the door. The devotees informed the Lord that Mukunda Datta was waiting outside, but the Lord replied, I shall not soon be pleased with Mukunda Datta, for though he explains devotional service among devotees, he then goes to Mayavadis to hear from them the Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, which is full of Mayavada philosophy. For this, I am greatly displeased with him. So a lot of lessons to be learned here. First of all, Mukunda, in his humility, didn't force his way in. Sometimes we think, I deserve this. Everybody else is getting this honor or this prasadam or whatever, and I'm not getting any. I'm going to just push my way in. No, that's not the mood of devotees. Devotees wait humbly to be called by the Lord or the Lord's representative. Secondly, the other devotees, even though they were being called by the Lord, they didn't forget Mukunda. They didn't think, well, and the Lord recognized me, you know, who cares about this Mukunda? No, they were all thinking, Mukunda has not been called. And they brought it up to the Lord. My Lord, perhaps you've forgotten, he didn't call Mukunda. So that's another instruction here. Don't be so concerned about yourself that you forget about other devotees. That's not the mood of a devotee. And then thirdly, the Lord was teaching that it is dangerous to mingle with Mayavadis, even if you're a very advanced devotee. You're a very advanced devotee. What to speak of when you're not so advanced? Sura was touching on this in his class, that, you know, some devotees think that it's okay to go and hear from such and such, you know, visiting sannyasi, even though he's not really a Vaishnava, not a Vaishnava at all. They're, or even not sannyasi, some Mataji or this or that, just because everybody else likes them and I'd like to go hear what she has to say or he has to say. No. That's not the mood of devotees. Devotees want to hear the Siddhanta. They want to hear Bhagavad Gita as it is. They want to hear from elevated souls in the Vaishnava line. Not just anyone and anyone, everyone, everywhere, whatever they're speaking. No, that's not the mood of a devotee. We have to be very, very careful about the hearing process. Vaisheshika Prabhu uses a very nice analogy. I heard him speaking one night at a yoga studio. That just like, you know, the sewer system, water drain system we have here in LA and in most cities, they have a system specifically just for drain water, not for sewage or anything else. So they tell you, don't put any garbage in here because this drains down to the ocean. So similarly, these ears, they drain to the heart. So you have to be very careful what you put in there. Very careful. Nothing toxic, nothing poisonous. You have to be very careful. It's your ears. It's your responsibility to guard them. So if you just go anywhere and everywhere and listen to what anybody has to say, you're the one that's going to suffer mostly from that. So Lord Chaitanya was teaching this lesson here. Hearing the Lord speaking that way, Mukunda Datta, standing outside, was exceedingly glad that the Lord would at some time be pleased with him, although he was not pleased at that moment. But when the Lord understood that Mukunda Datta was going to give up the association of the Maya bodies for good, he was pleased. And he at once called to see Mukunda. Thus he delivered him from the association of the Maya bodies and gave him the association of pure devotees. Interestingly, I forget who was, somebody wrote this once in an offering that in the beginning the devotees were wondering, who are these Mayavadis that Prabhupada is talking about? And then after some time of association with devotees, he realized, Prabhupada is talking about us. We're Mayavadis. Mayavadi means somebody who thinks that everything is Maya. They don't see any, even when the Lord comes into this material world, they think that he takes on a form of Maya. So Nirvisheshavad, Sunyamad, Mayavad, these mentalities are to be given up. These mentalities are to be avoided. So we're allowing Prabhupada, if we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada regularly, to destroy our misconceptions along those three paths. Nirvisheshavad means, Shesha means the form. Nirvisheshavad means no form. So we're thinking that, yes, maybe there is a supreme somewhere out there, but there's formless. It's not, no, there's form. Shunyavadi means zero, like the Buddhists. Everything is void ultimately. And again, the Mayavadis we just explained. So these three mentalities we have to avoid in ourselves. And those who are avowed Mayavadis or Shunyavadis or Nirvisheshavadis, we should definitely avoid their association. So that's being taught here. 66. Lord Chaitanya respected Advaita Acharya as his spiritual master. But Advaita Acharya Prabhu was greatly aggrieved by such behavior. 67. Thus, he whimsically began to explain the path of philosophical speculation, and the Lord, in his anger, seemingly disrespected him. 68. At that time, Advaita Acharya was greatly pleased. The Lord understood this, and he was somewhat ashamed, but he offered Advaita Acharya his benediction. Purport. Advaita Acharya was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri's spiritual master. Therefore, Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was Advaita Acharya's god-brother. In view of this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated Advaita Acharya as his spiritual master. But Sri Advaita Acharya did not like this behavior of Lord Chaitanya, for he wanted to be treated as his eternal servant. Now we know Advaita Acharya's position. He's expansion of the Lord, he's Mahavishnu, and he wants to be seen as an eternal servant. But in our conditioned state, we're so foolish, we don't want to be seen as the Lord's servant. We want to be master. That's the difference. Advaita Prabhu's aspiration was to be a servant of the Lord, not his spiritual master. He therefore devised a plan to antagonize the Lord. He began to explain the path of philosophical speculation in the midst of some unfortunate Mayavadis. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he immediately went there and in a very angry mood began to beat Advaita Acharya. At that time, Advaita Acharya, greatly pleased, began to dance, saying, "Just see how my desire has now been fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to treat me honorably for so long, but now he is treating me neglectfully. This is my reward. His affection for me is so great that he wanted to save me from the hands of the Maya bodies." Hearing this statement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed, but he was very pleased with Advaita Acharya. So, because the Lord is absolute, his embracing or his beating are one and the same. Again, those who are not on a very high platform of realization, that they don't understand this. There's that story of Shivananda Sen, who used to make all the arrangements when the devotees would leave from Bengal and go to Puri. And at one stop, the arrangements had not been made, so when Lord Nityananda came, prasadam wasn't ready, their accommodations weren't taken care of. And in an angry mood, he kicked Shivananda Sen. So those who are advanced, they realize, Shivananda Sen himself realized that this is the Lord's mercy. To be kicked by Lord Nityananda is the highest blessing. And Lord Nityananda not only kicked him, he said, "I'm going to curse you that your sons will all die." And the wife became very upset and was crying. And Shivananda Sen told her in essence to shut up. "You don't understand. This is a blessing. Let all my sons die if Lord Nityananda is displeased." So the Lord's embrace or the Lord's slapping or kicking, is they're one and the same.
to get the Lord's personal attention in that way is the desire of the devotees. Now, that doesn't mean we should follow Advaita Acharya's example and try to antagonize the Lord. No. No, this is a special rasa between the two of them. But essentially, the Lord's kicking or embracing are the same. Absolute. 69. Murari Gupta was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Chaitanya heard Lord Ramachandra's glories from his mouth, he immediately wrote on his forehead, Ram Das, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. Text 70. Once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Sridhar after kirtan and drank water from his damaged iron pot. Then he bestowed his benediction upon all the devotees according to their desires, purport. After the mass, Nagara Sankirtan, in protest against the magistrate Chankazi, the Kazi was converted to a devotee. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned with his Sankirtan party to the house of Sridhar, and Chankazi followed him. All the devotees rested there for some time and drank water from Sridhar's damaged iron pot. The Lord accepted the water because the pot belonged to a devotee. Chankazi then returned home. The place where they rested is still situated on the northeastern side of Mayapur, and it is known as Kirtan Vishramasthana, the resting place of the Kirtan party. Text 71. After this incident, the Lord blessed Haridas Thakur and vanquished the offense of his mother at the home of Advaita Acharya. Purport. On the Mahaprakash day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas Thakur and informed him that he was none other than an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. This is not so easy to understand because the pastime of Prahlad took place many, many eons prior to Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So, was he hanging around somewhere in the universe just waiting to appear as Haridas Thakur? Not so easy to understand. When Vishwarup took sannyas, Sachimata thought that Advaita Acharya had persuaded him to do so. Therefore, she accused Advaita Acharya of this, which was an offense at his lotus feet. Later, Lord Chaitanya induced his mother to take the dust of Advaita Acharya's lotus feet, and thus her Vaishnava aparad was nullified. 72. Once when the Lord explained the glories of the holy name to the devotees, some ordinary students who heard him fashioned their own interpretation. 73. When a student interpreted the glories of the holy name as a prayer of exaggeration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly unhappy, immediately warned everyone not to see the student's face henceforward. Purport. Once when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the glories of the transcendental potency of the Lord's holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one unfortunate student said that such glorification of the holy name was an exaggeration in the Shastras to induce people to take to it. In this way, the student interpreted the glories of the holy name. This is called Arthavad, and it is one of the 10 offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. Which offense is that? Sure? You sure it's not 5? We recite them every morning. You should look it up. Okay. There are many kinds of offenses, but the offense known as Nama Parad, an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, is extremely dangerous. The Lord therefore warned everyone not to see the face of the offender. The Lord immediately took a bath in the Ganges with all his clothes on to teach everyone to avoid such a Nama Parad. The holy name is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between the person God and his holy name. This is the absolute position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who distinguishes between the Lord and his name is called a Pashandi, or a non-believer, an atheistic demon. Which means just about everybody on this planet right now. A few exceptions. Glorification of the holy name is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should never attempt to distinguish between the Lord and his name or interpret the glories of the holy name as mere exaggerations. 74. Without even removing his garments, Lord Chaitanya took a bath in the Ganges with his companions. There he explained the glories of devotional service. By following the paths of speculative philosophical knowledge, fruitive activity, or mystic yoga to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Unalloyed devotional love for Krishna is the only cause for the Lord's satisfaction. 76. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, "My dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me." Purport. Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, Tapasvis, and students of Vedic literature who do not have Krishna consciousness simply beat around the bush and do not get any final profit because they have no clear knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor do they have faith in approaching Him by discharging devotional service. Although everywhere such service is repeatedly emphasized, as it is in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 14, Text 20. This is the verse that we are hearing in purport to. Kaviraj Maharaj quoted from the 11th Canto. Krishna really emphasized this point in that section, in that talk with Uddhava. There's another verse that he said, Shabda Brahmani Nishnata Nanishnaya Pareyadi Shamastasya Shamapala Hiyadenum Iva Rakshata. Stressing this point that he says, Shabda Brahmani Nishnata, you may become expert in studying all the Vedas, Shabda Brahman, Nanishnaya Pareyadi, but if you don't accept the position of the Supreme Lord, the absolute position of Krishna, and in other words, if you don't develop your love for Him, Shamastasya Shamapala, it's useless labor, and it will bear no fruit. Hiyadenum Iva Rakshata. And this example Krishna uses, it says, it's just like maintaining a cow that doesn't give any milk. So the same point, if you don't develop your attraction for Krishna, your love for Krishna, then all of your big knowledge and all of your austerities and even taking sannyas, all of that is like meaningless. So Prabhupada continues the purport. The Bhagavad Gita 18:55 also declares, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tattvatah. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. If one wants to understand the Supreme Personality factually, he must take to the path of devotional service and not waste time in profitless philosophical speculation, fruitive activity, mystic yogic practice, or severe austerity and penance. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 12:5, the Lord confirms, Klesha dikarashtesham abhyakta sakta chetasam. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. People who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Lord are obliged to take great trouble, yet, nevertheless, they cannot understand the Absolute Truth, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prameti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite. Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of both Brahman and Paramatma, one is still in darkness about the Absolute Truth. So we're very fortunate to have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, who's given us the Absolute Truth in a very palatable form. Srila Prabhupada's books, at first glance, may seem way out of reach for anyone in this age. But we should also remember that we're coming out of that same pool of ignorance. And somehow or other, we're making progress by hearing from those books. So I've always been of a dual mind about this. Some devotees think that they have to write bridge books to bring the general population to Prabhupada's books. But I always thought that it's not necessary. We came out of the same pool. And the real way to understand Srila Prabhupada's books is to become purified. Prabhupada himself said that here in the morning walk once, where devotees were making this point. That when we preach to people, and especially when we start speaking about principles, they don't understand, they don't want to hear. So Prabhupada actually got a little angry. He stopped and said, Why are you not understanding? You're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, make them fortunate. Give them prasadam. Give them the chanting of the holy name. This will make them qualified to understand. So it's not that we have to take it upon ourselves to write bridge books to bring people to Prabhupada's books. Just give them Prabhupada's books and give them the holy name, give them the prasadam, and let, you know, nature take its course. just like it did with us. You know, what qualifications did we have? Maybe some of us were in college, but we still had no understanding of what Prabhupada was saying. Krishna is the absolute truth. How to approach the absolute truth, develop love. We had no understanding. But some or other, by gradually becoming more and more purified, some understanding sets in. One begins to grasp what's actually going on here. Otherwise, we're simply wasting our time waiting for death. And death can come at any moment. I just heard from a friend of mine, this woman that I know, she was driving, she was in her car, but her boyfriend was driving. They're on the 405 in a diamond lane. And some guy on a motorcycle, if you drive, you know, it happens all the time. These guys on the motorcycles, they try to squeeze through the traffic. So they're going along about 70 miles an hour, and he's squeezing through. And the police report is not final yet, so nobody knows exactly what happened, but a lot of people witnessed it. So he clipped their car. She was on the passenger side because her boyfriend was driving, so he clipped on the passenger side and lost control and hit a truck, went over the handlebar, fell on the road, and got hit. And, you know, they called 911 immediately, but it took about 12, 15 minutes before they got there. So in the meanwhile, she actually got out of the car, and she was holding the guy, and he just, like, passed away in her arms. So death can come at any moment for any of us. We don't know how, when, where. You know, so we have to take it seriously. We've been given this opportunity to hear from a pure devotee of the Lord so we get things right. We don't have to, it's not fuzzy. If you listen to Prabhupada, he doesn't leave things in a fuzzy state. Everything is really, really clear. And if in spite of things being that clear, you don't understand, then ask somebody who already understands. But Prabhupada has made it very, very clear. What Krishna's position, Lord Chaitanya's position, our position. Everything is very clear. And we just have to accept it as it is and execute the mission of Krishna consciousness as given to us by Krishna's representative, and we will be qualified to go back to home, back to Godhead, instead of just hanging around here waiting for death. Prabhupada compares that. You know, all these people are thinking that everything is all right. I'm okay, you're okay, things are going to get better. No, that's not the nature of this place, to sit around waiting for things to get better. It's actually getting worse. It's just because of the presence of the Sankirtan movement that there's going to be a little pocket of opportunity. Otherwise, this Kali Yuga, things degenerate very, very rapidly. Very, very rapidly. Things get worse and worse and worse. And don't sit around waiting for it to get better. That's not what we're here for. Prabhupada used to compare that to when you line up these animals for slaughter. Those who are farther back in the line, they're munching on grass and they're thinking, this tastes good, everything's life is good. They're looking around. He-goat is looking at the she-goat. Not realizing that, you know, in a few steps, his neck is going to get cut, just like the one that was ahead of him. So we're all like that. We're in a queue waiting to die. And whether death comes on the highway, like that guy on the motorcycle, or you die in your bed, like Vidura Prabhu did across the street a few months back, it's going to come some way or other, whether you're 9 or you're 90 or whatever. So don't wait around waiting for things to get better. Especially in this age of Kali, that's an illusion. We see things don't get better. They get worse very, very quickly. You know, like right now, everybody's talking about the 10th anniversary of America invading Iraq. So the idea was we're going to make things better. It's going to be better for the Americans because we're going to take away his weapons of mass destruction. It's going to be better for the Iraqis because we're going to take away this dictator that's keeping them oppressed. Hello? Nobody. It got better for nobody. America's worse off because we spent millions and trillions of dollars on that war. The soldiers who went there, so many of them died, and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died, you know, and their society is no better off materially right now. There is no improvement. There are no material solutions to material problems, only spiritual solutions. And if we don't employ those spiritual solutions, then we just exacerbate the problems. So we should take that to heart and not fall into the trap that the karmis do. That we're going to make, everything's going to get better. Just we need a different president or a different economic approach or a different this or a different that. No, it's not going to get any better. You're simply getting closer and closer to death. And if you don't take advantage of the Sankirtan movement, then you're going to have to come back again. And things are already going to be worse. All right, 77. Lord Chaitanya then praised Murari Gupta, saying, "You have satisfied Lord Krishna." Hearing this, Murari Gupta quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the verse. Kaham Dorija Papiyan Kwa Krishna Kri Niketanaha Brahmabandoriti Smahang Bahupyam Parirambitaha. Translation. Since I am but a poor, sinful Brahmabandhu, not brahminically qualified, although born in a Brahmana family, and you, Lord Krishna, are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, it is simply wonderful, my dear Lord Krishna, that you have embraced me with your arms. Purport. This is a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 81, text 16, spoken by Sudama Vipra in the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. This and the previous verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam clearly indicate that although Krishna is so great that it is not possible for anyone to satisfy him, he exhibits his greatness by being personally satisfied even with one who is unqualified from so many angles of vision. Sudama Vipra was born in a family of brahmanas and he was a learned scholar and a class friend of Krishna's, yet he considered himself unfit to be strictly called a brahmana. He called himself a Brahmabandhu, meaning one born in a brahmana family but not brahminically qualified. Because of his great respect for brahmanas, however, Krishna embraced Sudama Vipra, although he was not a regular brahman, but a Brahmabandhu or a friend of a brahmana family. What to speak of those of us who are born outside of the Veda culture. Once we get the sacred thread, we cannot become puffed up. Murari Gupta could not be called even a Brahmabandhu because he was born of a Vaidya family, and according to the social structure, was therefore considered a Shudra. But Krishna bestowed special mercy upon Murari Gupta because he was a beloved devotee of the Lord, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The purport of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's elaborate discussion of this subject is that no qualification in this material world can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Yet everything becomes successful simply through development of devotional service to the Lord. So again, we should always remember that. That's why we're here, to be trained in devotional service. And again, I emphasize that word, trained in devotional service. It's not that you come through the door and then you just want to be left alone to figure it out yourself and do whatever you want and call that devotional service. That's not how it works. If you really want to engage in devotional service, then you have to present yourself to be trained in devotional service. Even the simplest service, you need training. Just like every morning, somebody takes the Charinamrita bowl and the water pot and they rinse them out, clean them, bring them back for the service again. So that you need to be trained to do that. Otherwise, you'll take the thing to the wrong sink or put things in the wrong place. Even the simplest service requires training. What to speak of those more complicated services like serving the deities personally and book distribution. Everything requires training. Yes, we encourage devotees to distribute books, but please, get a little training. Don't just go and take books and go out on the street. Because devotional service that's not according to the predecessor acharyas, doesn't follow in their line of suggestion, then becomes a disturbance in society. There's always that possibility that you may think you're doing devotional service because you were not properly trained and you're simply disturbing people. So we don't want to fall into that category of disturbing people with our so-called devotional service. Whatever we feel attracted to doing, whether it's a simple thing like washing the Charinamrita pot or something more complicated like serving the deities or going out on Harinam or whatever, it requires training. We see the Yoga Dharma is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but Srila Prabhupada trained his devotees how to do it properly. He didn't just say, just go out and do whatever you feel like, dress any way you want, do whatever you want. No, that was not Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood was you get trained to play the kartals, you get trained to play mridanga, you get trained to do everything. But we see quite often devotees come, neophyte devotees come, they feel attracted to playing the drum, they just pick it up and bang away, bang, 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 bang. It's a disturbance. It's a disturbance. If you want to play mridanga, then approach somebody who knows how to play mridanga and learn. It just makes sense, doesn't it? But we, somehow or other, we forget this. We think that whatever we feel like doing, it's okay. Just do it. That's not the mood in the devotional community. Devotional community means everything is being done under guidance for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we really care about pleasing God, then we have to be trained by God's representative how to please God. All right, maybe one or two more, and then we can stop. Continuing this purport. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness cannot even call themselves Brahma Bandhus. This is the point I was making earlier. Therefore, our only means for satisfying Krishna is to pursue the injunctions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says, Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyaya guruhana tare desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. That's from the Madhya Lila, chapter 7, text 128. Simply trying to follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we speak to the people of the world about Bhagavad Gita as it is. This will make us qualified to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But again, it requires training. Because if we go out to distribute Bhagavad Gita as it is to people, but we don't know what's in it, that's not very impressive. And people have a right to ask you, do you know what's in this book? Why should I take this book? What's in it? Prabhupada made that point here once in 75 when I was here. I remember clearly when it happened. The book distribution scores were going up practically every day. Devotees were doing 50 big books at the airport, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. So, of course, the leaders were very excited. Ramachandra Prabhu was especially excited, so he went to Prabhupada to tell Prabhupada that, you know, some of the devotees are distributing 100 big books a day. So Prabhupada didn't immediately say, wow. He said, are they reading my books? So that's an indication. If you want to go out and distribute Prabhupada's books, he's very pleased by that, but he's even more pleased when you read his books and live his books. Because then your preaching attempts will have more potency. Text 79. One day the Lord performed Sankirtan with all his devotees, and when they were greatly fatigued, they sat down. The Lord then sowed a mango seed in the yard, and immediately the seed fructified into a tree and began to grow. As people looked on, the tree became fully grown with fruits that fully ripened. Thus everyone was struck with wonder. So, sometimes people ask, did Lord Chaitanya perform any miracles? So this is one of them, recorded. He took a mango seed, put it in the earth, and immediately it fructified and grew into a full-grown tree with ripe fruit on it. Let the scientists explain that. The Lord immediately picked about 200 fruits, and after washing them, he offered them to Krishna to eat. So, very instructed. This is Krishna himself in the mood of his own devotee. Pick the fruit, and he didn't just eat it. Sometimes we mistakenly think, it's just fruit, I can eat it. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam. He specifically says, you can offer me patram. What is patram? Leaves. Pushpam. What is pushpam? Flowers. Palam. Fruit. Toyam. Water. So Krishna says, even these simple things you have to offer me. Not that it's only water, I could just drink it, or if it's just fruit, I could just eat it. No, even these simple things, fruit, flowers, leaves, water, they should be offered to Krishna first, and then they become prasadam. So Lord Chaitanya is setting that example. He performed a miracle, planted a seed, the tree grew immediately, had ripe fruit. He could have just picked them and distributed to the devotees, but no, he picked them, he washed them, then he offered them to Krishna, and then he gave the devotees to eat. The fruits were all red and yellow, with no seed inside and no skin outside. And eating one fruit would immediately fill a man's belly. Seeing the quality of the mangoes, the Lord was greatly satisfied. And thus, after eating first, he fed all the other devotees. The fruits had no seeds or skins. They were full of nectarian juice and were so sweet that a man would be fully satisfied by eating only one. In this way, fruits grew on the tree every day throughout the 12 months of the year. And the Vaishnavas used to eat them to the Lord's great satisfaction. So that's obviously a miracle tree. Generally, even in India, there's a mango season. The mangoes don't grow year-round. They grow during a particular season and then you don't have after for some time. But this particular tree was giving fruit year-round. And so to end on this note, next text will be 87 for those who are keeping track. So Srila Prabhupada is like that mango tree. He's specifically a seed sown by Lord Chaitanya. He's the Mora Senapati Bhakta, the director of all the devotees. And just like that mango tree was giving fruits, ripened fruits year-round, Srila Prabhupada is continuously giving fruit of love of Krishna for those who were smart enough or fortunate enough to come in contact with him and taste those fruit in the form of his books specifically, but his movement, his devotees, his prasadam, everything that Prabhupada has given us, simply geared towards pushing us to reawaken our love for Krishna. So we can stop there in a few minutes. Any questions, discussion? Amala Bhakta Prabhu was first. I don't think it is still there. I went on the full Navadvip Parikrama in 91, and I remember specifically Lokanath Maharaj was speaking on this. He spoke on that topic about the mango tree. And as a matter of fact, he told some very amusing mango pastimes at that spot, but the tree itself is no longer with us. Probably out of separation from Lord Chaitanya, probably went back to Godhead. But anyways, he told this one amusing story about mangoes that, I mean, I think I've told it a couple of times, but it's very amusing about, you know, Krishna's pastimes are not easy to understand. So once, you know, he had done something to make Radharani very upset with him. So Radharani was not speaking to him and not looking at him, wouldn't interact with him in any way. So he was becoming more and more worried about the situation. So one of Radharani's confidants, the gopis, because the gopis always want to see Radha and Krishna together. It's not like here in the mature world where we're envious, so when people break up, we're very glad. Yeah. You know, we're very happy to see people break up. Not like that. The devotees in the spiritual world, they always are seeking the satisfaction of seeing Radha and Krishna together. So when there's an apparent break, then they tax their brains how to get them back together. So this one gopi approached Krishna and said, "Here's what you should do. Radharani loves nothing more in the world than garlands made by you. So every day you make a garland and give it to me, and I'll give it to Radharani, and she'll gradually melt." So Krishna took the advice, and every day he would make a wonderful flower garland, give it to this gopi. Gopi would give it to Radharani. And as soon as Radharani put it on her body, she would feel some ecstatic reaction. So she's wondering, why am I feeling ecstatic reaction from this garland? And so finally she asked, bring me that gopi, because she thought it was a gopi. Bring me that gopi who's making this garland every day. So the gopi in question went back to Krishna and said, "Well, Radharani wants to see you, but she thinks you're a gopi. So, well, what to do?" So Krishna said, "Don't worry, I'll dress as a gopi." So he dressed up, put on a sari, makeup. But, you know, he's still Krishna. So he's like, you know, hiding behind the sari. And Radharani saw from a distance, "Who is this gopi? I don't recognize this gopi. Bring her close." So Krishna's coming closer and he's hiding behind the sari. So finally, Radharani says, come over here. And finally he gets close. And Radharani grabs, she wants to see his face, and she grabs the sari top and pulls. And the whole top unravels in two mangoes. So this is a wonderful mango story that Lokanath Swami told at that spot. Rantara Srimad Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.